Good to see you all. Special welcome to visitors, of which we have a few, so you're very welcome. It's over to Kathy.
Good morning. We're going to start with a little test of your road sign knowledge. So we can have the first one up. Who knows what this means? Falling rocks. Excellent. And the next one? Man struggling with umbrella, correct. Go on, Zig. Rock falling and roadworks, very good. And the next one?
Drunk driver.
Looks like drunk driver. Slippery road. Slippery road, I think we'll stick to. And next one? What's crossing? Toad's crossing.
Like a frog.
Apparently it's toads, but anyway, toad's crossing. And the next one? Any ideas? If you've got no idea at all, maybe you should listen to the reading. I'm going to read from Luke 19. Starting at verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you encounter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, now we're going to see a short video about helping us to understand Palm Sunday.
Hey, Tommy and Eddie here to talk to you about something really great, Palm Sunday.
Yeah, that's the Sunday that we paint our palms purple to commemorate King Saul talking to that palm reader lady, and then we wave them in the air.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it
no.
is. What Bible do you read?
Palm Sunday commemorates the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Now picture this. Jesus rode in on a donkey while the crowds put their cloaks and palm branches all over the ground, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David."
That's what I said. That's what I meant.
Okay, now picture this. Jesus' popularity was going viral. I mean, he just raised Lazarus from the dead in the same community just a few days earlier.
Wait, post-dead Lazarus was maybe at the very first Palm Sunday?
Yeah, probably.
That's so cool. I bet if he was there, he was probably like, "And you're a thriller, thriller, Jesus. You raised me from the dead when you said, get up, get up, get up, ooh!"
Now, to complete all of this, Jesus needed a donkey. Now, you'd think that a king or a prince would ride in on a horse, but not Jesus. He knew the message that he wanted to send. You see, a donkey represents peace. Anybody riding a donkey represented peaceful intentions.
Yeah, it says right here in Matthew 21, it says that Jesus sent two of his disciples to get him a donkey.
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder which two he sent.
Maybe Thomas.
I doubt it. I bet he sent Andrew. Andrew would totally do that. And probably Tony.
I bet he said Andrew and Tony.
Tony's not a disciple.
Oh, sorry. Tony is.
Still not a disciple.
What translation of the Bible do you read?
Jesus needed a donkey, so he asked two disciples to go get him a donkey. He told them they would find one in town, tied there next to a colt.
Yeah. And then he says, untie them and bring them to me. And if somebody asks you about it, you tell them the Lord needs them? Jeez.
Yeah. What?
Well, Jesus told his disciples to go steal a donkey for him.
What Bible do you read? It doesn't say that at all.
I can't figure this out. I mean, Jesus, he changed water into wine. Cool. He fed the 4,000.
He fed the 5,000.
What?
He fed the 5,000.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. Not the fourth. It's the 5,000.
We're splitting hairs.
I'm sorry.
Jesus fed a large group of people. And that's cool. He healed people with leprosy. He raises Lazarus from the dead, and then boom, he's like, hey guys, go steal me a donkey. I'm just saying, I don't think that's very WWJD.
The significance of Jesus riding in on a donkey, which he did not steal, was to fulfill the prophecy that is found in Zechariah 9:9.
Yeah, but the...
And the king riding in on a lowly donkey with his way paved with palm branches. The palm branches symbolize triumph or victory.
The what?
The palm branches.
The bread?
Palm Sunday.
I thought it was the palm. They should call it Branch Sunday, because that's confusing. We all have palms with us all the time. I feel bad. I'm sorry, Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday is a time for us to prepare our hearts for the agony of his passion and the joy of his resurrection. So this week, let's cover the road to the cross with our hearts, our souls, and our minds as we reflect on the final week of Jesus' life.
Let's celebrate in anticipation the return of the King of Kings.
Thank you. I've always wondered about the donkey. Now, there were lots of people lining the route of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And I think there were four kinds of people. There were confused people, critical people, curious people, and certain people. They were all following Jesus in some way or another. So if we could go to confused first. There we are. Confused people. And I think, well, it's clear from the Gospels that Jesus' disciples, his closest disciples, were confused most of the time. They seem to be just as dense as I am at times. He told them things and they forgot it. He did things and they couldn't see the point of it. He did amazing things. They went, wow, and then didn't really understand why he'd done them. They just didn't get who Jesus was. And I think they probably were a bit confused by the whole donkey thing, because Jesus was going into Jerusalem as king. And he was riding on the wrong sort of four-legged animal. He should have been riding on a big, exciting, wonderful thoroughbred horse, probably wearing armor and carrying a big sword and all that stuff. But instead, he rode in on a donkey. Kings don't ride donkeys, that just doesn't work. But that's what Jesus did. And so the disciples were probably a bit confused. And then there was a group of people who were always critical of Jesus. They followed him around. They were always popping up here, there. Anybody think who these people might be? Who were always around? Yeah? Tax collectors was one type of people who were following Jesus around. Good. There's another sort. Pharisees, thank you. The Pharisees particularly were always around Jesus. I think they found him completely fascinating and compelling, but they spent all their time criticizing him. So they were following him, just as the disciples were, the confused disciples. The Pharisees were following, but they were critical. They just didn't want Jesus to be who Jesus is. Third sort, curious. Wonder what the donkey owner thought. Why does this wandering preacher want my donkey? Now, we don't know what happened in advance of the donkey being removed from its owner. I suspect, although we can't be sure, that Jesus had arranged it beforehand. Therefore, the disciples were not stealing it. That's what I hope happened, anyway. But I wonder if the donkey owner went along to see who wanted his donkey and what was going on, and whether he was curious about Jesus. And lots of people in the crowd were curious. They followed Jesus around because they wanted to find out more about him. They weren't sure about him. They wondered who this could be. And really, I guess the donkey owner, in a way, represents quite a lot of the people around in Jerusalem at the time. Jerusalem knew, the city knew about Jesus. It wasn't a huge city. We think of it as being this huge kind of capital city. It was only a few tens of thousands of people. It was not that big. And so word would quickly have got around about this miracle-working rabbi. So there were people who were curious. And then there were people who were certain in their following of Jesus. The crowd. They were calling out, praising God. They put their cloaks on the road. They waved palm branches, although actually today, as we're reading Luke this year, should be non-Palm Sunday. Because he doesn't mention palms at all. And we shouldn't be singing Hosanna songs because he doesn't mention Hosanna either. So it's non-Palm, non-Hosanna Sunday today. Just thought you'd like to know that. But we'll carry on as we were. Because Luke has a different focus. He is looking back to Psalm 118, the psalm which talks of the Messiah, which prophesies the Messiah. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, is a direct quote from that psalm. And peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Who else said that? Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Who else said that? The angels, when Jesus was born. And we read that in Luke. So Luke is looking back to Jesus' birth. And there's a whole lot of things going on here, which we haven't really got time to unpack properly. It would take ages. But Luke's looking in a slightly different direction than the other gospel writers. But it's the same event where Jesus comes in and the crowd acclaims him as king. Just using slightly different words. And the crowd is certain. This is the one. This is the Messiah. But is this the same crowd who, just a few days later, were yelling, crucify? They may have been certain on Sunday, but were they still certain a few days later when Jesus was taken before Pilate? So which are you? It's the question. Which one are you? Are you confused? Maybe you've been following Jesus for a while, but you've still got questions, and you're not really sure about some things. And we all have questions, don't we? I mean, that goes without saying, because how can we possibly know everything there is to know about Jesus, everything there is to know about God? But for some of us, there's a bit more than that, and we're a bit confused and a bit unsure, a bit puzzled. Maybe some of us are quite critical of the way Jesus is portrayed, critical of the way the church is. And there's, you know, the church is a human institution, so there's always going to be things that we get wrong. But that attitude of criticism has stopped you from really fully responding to Jesus' call on your life. To really be a follower. And you're just kind of standing back a bit because of that. Maybe you haven't really grasped who Jesus is and you're curious and you want to know more and you would like to respond. But maybe you're someone who's a bit nearer certain, and that's great. And you're following Jesus wholeheartedly, and that's really good, and you want to follow him even more closely. So whether you are confused or critical or curious or certain, there's ways that you can move forward, I believe, in that walk with Jesus. You could have a chat with someone you trust, who's maybe you think is a bit further on in their walk with Jesus. You can talk to me or Simon, or one of the lay readers. We may know a bit more, but we're not necessarily any further forward than you are, but hey, we'll have a go. You could join a home group where you can share that with other people and really learn together. You could go along to a breakfast with the Bible and learn more about whatever that particular thing is that week. You could come to the lunch on Tuesday and find out a bit more about... Jackie here, Where are you, Jackie? Yeah, you're there. I was looking for somebody wearing red, and there are several people wearing red, which confused me. Who are we looking at this week? Thomas. Ooh, that's quite a good one. If you are confused, critical, or curious, Thomas is a good one to have a think about. So Tuesday at 12, they are recorded. So if you can't come, there's an opportunity there. So Alpha will run again in the autumn. There's lots of things, lots of ways you can become less confused. Shed your critical attitude, satisfy your curiosity, and become more certain in your following of Jesus. Amen. Right, over to Michael. We're now going to get exciting with palm crosses and all sorts of things.
I'm going to do some prayers, so we need a visual aid to help us with the prayers today. So I would like some volunteers to give out my visual aids. Where's David? I want to volunteer.